Welcome to Soul-Led Living. I'm your host, Nikki Novo. I created this podcast so that you can hear, trust, and follow your intuition. Every week, I drop two episodes packed with intuitive messages that your divine team is dying for you to hear. So get your heart ready to receive exactly whatever it is that you are meant to receive. Let's do this. What would it look like if you doubled down on being the talent in your business? You would 10x, that's what would happen. But I know that sometimes it's not easy to really just dig into your talent when you're running a full business and there's all these moving pieces from like accounting to customer service to all sorts of stuff. You don't always get to just be in your talent. But the answer to a lot of the questions you're asking or to a lot of the problems you're dealing with has to do with not being the talent and like not understanding that like that is where it's at. So I wanted to do an episode on what is the energy of being the talent. I have six messages, but for every message I asked a question because I could feel your resistance. So I was like picking up these resistant questions and answering them through these messages. So I'm really excited about this episode. I really pray that it shifts you, you know, that you let the shift shift. Because there's definitely a stubbornness and like a resistance to these messages. It's kind of like, it's almost like the little inner girl in you, like this is what she wants, but at the same time, she just feels like nobody's ever given it to her. And she thinks like somebody else is supposed to give it to her, but like truly you're supposed to give it to her. So there might be a little bit of a fight. And if you're not happy with me by the end of this episode, that's okay with me. I'm just the messenger. But yeah, let's be open to what comes through. Okay. Message number one. So my first question is, what is the talent? I know what the talent is, but I was like, let's download it. So being the talent means that you have created an ecosystem that truly revolves around what you do best. So where I think sometimes when we build businesses, we are building something to work. You know, we're building structures and we're building all these moving pieces. And of course, like while that is important and there's a season for that, I do trust that like whenever you are hearing this, like this is the next season, like this is where you're supposed to be going forward, you know, and that doesn't mean that whatever you've done in the past was wrong. It was probably very necessary, but it is now time to go here into talent mode. So imagine stepping into your business, walking into an office, and you've created this environment where everything revolves around you. And I know those of us who have a problem with narcissism or like being selfish, right? Like when we think about that, like when I say an environment that revolves around you, like your mind might go there. And for those of us who go there, like this is going to be a hard episode. This is going to be some hard messages, but it's kind of funny that this message was coming forward during Aries season because I feel like it's a very Aries energy. Like, do you have an Aries friend? They're kind of funny. They're lovely people and they're community people in many ways, but at the same time, they're like highly focused on what they want and where they're going. My older brother is an Aries and I always tell him that I'm like, dude, like you would have been an amazing cult leader because my brother has this way of like, he loves what he loves, right? Like he loves water sports. He loves just any like adventure sports, like mountain biking, snowboarding, surfing. Like he's just an all-around athlete in those things. And he lives at the beach right now. He like lives on the water and he's not going to go to like your birthday party. He's like not going to like your wife's baby shower, you know, but you can come to his house. You can come and like do the things that he wants to do. Like he's not going to go and like support you at your golf game, you know, like he's not, but he is so happy to involve you in the things that he loves. And he will make sure that like when you're with him doing the things that he loves, like he will make you feel so special and he will take care of you and he will give you gear and he will provide you food. Like he's gonna like just ham it up for you. Like he's gonna give you that love. And that is the best about being around him. But he knows that like his time is limited. He has a very, you know, busy, he's a doctor. So he has like an intense job. But so like, this is kind of the only, like the rest of his time, he wants to be doing the things that he loves. So he's going to do his best to like sell you on the things that he loves so that you can be part of it. But I don't see it as selfish. I see it as like focused. I see it as like knowing what you want. I also see it as like this maturity of like, it's okay if you're doing your thing and I'm doing my thing. Like, I'm still going to be your friend, you know, like, I don't know. There's just, so I want one thing in order to like really receive the messages about being the talent, you're going to have to let go of this idea. And sometimes for women that's hard, you know, but that this is selfish or that this is like you becoming a narcissist or anything like that. It's truly about making this business, which is an ecosystem, like imagine like walking into a space and it is truly, the machines are working so that your talent could be seen in the best light. I think another way I was seeing this was honestly like a surgeon, you know, a surgeon when she is doing, or she or he is doing surgery. Most surgeons I know are women, so it's like she. You know, somebody's handing them the tools, somebody's cleaning up the rags, like she's just doing her thing. Like she is simply just doing her craft and everybody in that operating room is maneuvering around her. Even the patient is often maneuvering around her as well, right? So, and that's okay because like this is an environment that's truly going to let her be at her best and truly let her shine. And then what happens is that supports everybody else that's in the room. Everybody else has a job in the room. The patient's going to get healthy because of everybody maneuvering around her. So it does serve everybody else. And listen, not everybody wants to be the surgeon. Like a lot of people love being like the behind the scenes, like doing all these kind of things. So when you feel weird about, but like, why me? There may be people that support you and that work around you that this is the season that they're in and this is how they like to live. I know, for example, Kat, who works with me, like she thought she wanted to be a coach and like be like in the spotlight. And the more she's gone down her journey, she's like, I just like love being here and being with you and supporting you and like, and doing this thing that we want to do and doing it together, you know? So let that go. Let go that this is a selfish route. This is really about an ecosystem that is around you being at your best. Message number two, I asked what is the mindset or just going back to the title of this episode, like what it truly is, the energy of the talent. And what I was getting is that the talent positions herself and kind of thinks about herself as like, what I do is very important. And also, even if it wasn't like this super important thing that's like saving lives, the talent also feels that she deserves to be supported. When I wrote my last book, Soul Led Living, I wasn't writing it like out of service. I wasn't like, this is going to help so many people. I knew that was going to happen. But what was really happening is that like the little girl inside of me is a talent. She is multi-talented, but one of her main talents is she's a writer. And I felt like life was swallowing her, you know, like kids and responsibilities and all these things. And I thought to myself, like, she deserves to have a stage. Like, she deserves for her voice to be heard. Like, that is really where that book came from. My natural tone is to connect with people and be in relationship and just like build a better world together for you and for me. I love to like walk this life with other people. So that's why it looks like I'm in service or I'm helping. But I feel like that is a byproduct of recognizing that my talent, that little girl deserves to be on stage. She deserved to be like moved around, and not because she's good, but simply because she has the desire. So the talent doesn't even like really wait to be amazing. We're going to talk about like what your talent is. And also we're going to talk about like, how does the talent get better? Or like, what if the talent is not great? Because I'm using the word talent and you might think that like, you're thinking, I don't know, an athlete at their highest point. But I'm also thinking, to me, talent is also like my 8-year-old is clearly gonna be on stage one day. Like he clearly has like a talent to get in front and speak to, you know, and speak and all that. So he may not be good at it by any means, but I can see like that little gift shining through. So this is not about being great at whatever it is that you think your thing is. This is truly about like recognizing that like that's where it's at. Like when I zoom in, like if I was my 8-year-old and, you know, if I could tell him, hey, like just put all your eggs and focus on like really letting yourself be you and like making a life around this gift of yours of like who you really are, basically, because that's what the talent is, then you're just gonna have a really beautiful life. But obviously he's just 8 and like that's not gonna make sense right now. But the talent is really thinking that way. Like the talent is thinking like what I'm doing matters, like what I'm doing is important, whether it's important to other people or it's just important to me. And also I deserve to be supported. I deserve to be moved around. I deserve to be seen. There's a worthiness definitely attached to the talent. Now, you can be talent and come from a place of, I need love, I need to be seen. We've seen a lot of big names and influencers, actors like grow audiences and stuff like from that place. That is totally like one way to go about it. The same way we've talked about like you can make money from a very aligned place, but you can also make money from a very scarcity place and do super well. But obviously those of us in this community, we are seeking alignment, seeking a soul-led life. We're seeking a life that is true to who we truly are. So unfortunately, ours only work when we're in the light or when we're in alignment to love rather than to fear. So in this case, like that really clicking in of the talent is coming from a worthiness. It's coming from my cup is so full. I'm pouring out. I have like, you know, this performance in me, this laughter, this joy, this like whatever, it's pouring out of me. And I think it deserves a stage, or I think it deserves to be seen. And that's the vibe. Like that's where the talent comes from. Okay, message number 3 or question number 3, I asked, well, what is your talent? Because I know some of you are sitting there and being like, well, I don't even know what my talent is. And obviously it's going to be different for everybody, but I think I got a pretty good message. So when it comes to like what your talent is, it definitely to me felt like a craft. Again, I was like seeing the surgeon doing their thing. I was seeing like people on stage. And when I saw this person in their craft, it felt to me that they were in their flow state, in their God zone, right? When I'm done recording this podcast, like I don't even remember doing it. You know, I'm just like in a state of flow. This is the most natural state for me. It is funny that people are interested in this part of me because like I will be like this no matter what, you know, like this is who I am. But when I'm here, it is a state of flow. And that's how I know it is a gift and a talent, right? So it's a God zone, a flow state. Obviously, when you're first starting out, talents are so clunky and they're so, they're just like clunky. Like they just like, they don't flow as much. So it could be easy to miss that flow state. But I think that if you weren't afraid of being good at it, or you weren't afraid if people were going to like it or whatever, and you could like let yourself flow, that's where you're going to find it. I also feel like you may know it best as a state of being. And I think this is what's so hard this is why it's so hard to spot a talent, because it's your like most authentic and natural state of being. Now, for example, my 8-year-old, like his natural state of being is like cracking jokes and being loud. Like it's a natural state of being for him. If he decides to create an ecosystem around his talent, he's going to have to fine-tune that talent, right? Like it cannot be as like all over the place, perhaps. And it also can't like cross over people's boundaries. Like he will have to finesse it so that it makes sense within an ecosystem. Like right now, it looks like sloppy and it can also look annoying in the wrong like places, right? But so that's why they're hard to see. But if you do have children, or if you've like, for example, my best friend was visiting me here about a year ago, and she was hanging out with my 8-year-old, and she's like, you got to put this guy in acting classes. And I was like, it's so funny. Like just a few days with him, like she saw something that I have already seen. Like I know this about this guy. And she like spotted it. So like if you have ever spotted that in somebody, or specifically a child, is always like a nice thing to spot it in. Another I feel like my house is just like talent focused, but like people, when they came to visit me and they would meet my dog, Molly, who recently passed away, they always like noticed that she had like a gift, you know, like she is very much, she has a job, she was a protector, like, and if you hike with her, you notice it right away. So you might be noticing gifts and talents in other people, and you'll, and that's going to give you a little bit of an understanding of like what is yours, because it is a natural state of being. Even though it might not be very fine-tuned, if that makes sense. Like it almost feels like it might not be as manicured. For example, like, have you ever seen a rose bush? A wild rose bush can be wild and like not as pretty, but when you manicure it, it's like, whoa, it can be like breathtaking. Like, why is it that the foliage in Disney World is like breathtaking, but in my house, it just looks like a hot mess? And it's because like they're manicuring it. So it's like they took a natural state of being, which is this, these flowers, you know, this beautiful nature, and then they manicured it and perfected the talent, which we're going to talk about, and like that's why it looks like even more amazing. So it's okay if you're still in the natural state, but you'll be able to spot it by like seeing it in other people and understanding that it's a flow state, it's a natural state of being, it's kind of a God zone state that you don't even notice you're doing it, which also of course makes it hard to spot talent in within us. Message number four, or question number four, I asked, how are you blocking the talent? Like, how are you not acting like the talent? Because you may not know the difference between like being the talent and not being the talent, especially in your business. And I got that whenever, it sounds like when you go into some sort of Cinderella mode, like that is a waste of your time. And we have to really eliminate Cinderella from the picture. Like Cinderella, I was obsessed with that Disney cartoon when I was little. And I feel like it's just taught me everything in life, you know? It's like Cinderella like could not become that princess or that queen until she like left all that bullshit behind, you know? Like, I'm not going to clean after people. I'm not going to put people ahead of me, right? Like, it's such a metaphor for it. And that was the only, and then she's like really starts to shine towards the end of the film. Obviously, she marries a prince, but like, we'll put that to the side, guys. Notice when you go into Cinderella mode. Cinderella mode to me is just, I like the minute I wrote this message down, like all the things that I do in my business that are Cinderella mode. And it looks like I'm being a team player. Like I'll take on things and I'll be like, no, like I'll do that. I'll write that. And I'm doing it more from a team player state. Like I'm like, okay, we are this team. We all have limited time. I don't want to put too much on somebody else's plate. So like I will take it on. But the thing is, when I take it on, I'm hurting everybody else because like I have to dig deeper into like those few things that I do that are truly my talent. I'm very good at relationships. I'm obviously good at the reads, good at what I do, good at the content. Like I have to go deeper into that, make that better. Like that should be the only place I'm spending time. So sometimes writing an email, although I want to write it, and I want to take it off somebody else's list, like is me going into Cinderella mode and is hurting everybody else. Like I think I'm hurting people by like giving them more work, but I'm truly hurting them by like not letting the business flourish by me being in that talent. So notice those Cinderella modes. Also, it's a modest mode that you go into. It's like being too modest, being too humble, you know, thinking that some people should shine and you shouldn't. This is really about feeling comfortable with shine, feeling comfortable with people seeing you and having, and I have questioned this a million times, like once people started coming my way or wanting to see me live or like whatever it was, I would ask the question. I'm like, why? Like I couldn't understand it. And it's like, this is nothing new. Like we have always been gathering around people that shine. We've always gathered around leaders. We've always gathered around people who put themselves in those positions. And a lot of times it's like, because that's their design. Like they're designed to be in those positions. And I mean, I can shine, but I also love going to see other people shine too. Like I go to movies and concerts and speaking events, you know, like it's not like I only exist in this world where people are coming to see me. So like, why do you question? You're going to see a bunch of people shine, I'm sure, all the time. And maybe you might even just go into your kid's baseball game. So like, why does it surprise you when people might like it when you shine? Or like, why are we hiding from that shine? Like, why can't you step into it? You know, that's truly the question, and it's a rub. So when you go there, when you question that, when you don't understand it, when you think like other people should shine, but you shouldn't shine, and you're picking up work that's like not really yours, that's not really your flow state, that is the opposite of being in the talent. Question number five, I asked, what if your talent is not fully developed? Raise your hand if you feel like your talent's not fully developed. Hey, guess what? I don't feel like my talent is fully developed either. Like, it's amazing to me when I get even better at my readings. It's like, I didn't even know that. I'm not even like really conscious of doing something to get better. But of course, like, the more you do something, the better you're going to get at something. And it's so funny that when you ask that question, like, what if my talent's not good enough? You really have to ask yourself, it's not, why is my talent not good enough? Why is my talent not developed enough? And then I'm going to ask you another question with that. And I want you to be honest about it. I want you to think about an athlete, or it could even be like a singer, like a Taylor Swift, or it could even just be your child who's in middle school and has been playing basketball for 3 years, right? I want you to think, like, I think about my friends. I have these friends that came to visit me a few summers ago, and they have three boys, and their boys play lacrosse. And she was talking to me about how they like travel to all these places for the kids to play lacrosse. And I always think to myself, like, what if I would put hours into my talent as much as those kids that are literally 12 putting into their lacrosse? They are putting more hours into their lacrosse than I am into like whatever I consider my talent to be. Like, that is the truth. So that is the question I'm asking you. Like, can you really claim that your talent is not good enough if you haven't put those hours in? Because we know this, like, we know when we have a child that might be talented in something, we're going to put them into a lot of hours. Actually, my son, Oliver, is like, you know, just always trying to, he's a Gemini. He's like good. He's like good at many things, but like doesn't really want to put effort into getting better at things. And I told him, we were talking about high school. I was like, listen, you have to play a sport in high school. So we got to like, you know, pick up the pace here. And he's like, oh my God, but they make you spend so many hours on that one sport. I'm like, yeah, they do. Because like, that's how you get better. So like, we all know this, like, think about any kid that has played sports, think about the amount of hours and effort. My cousin was just texting me about my nine-year-old niece and her cheerleading schedule. I'm like, oh my God. And of course she's going to be an amazing cheerleader in just a few years because of the amount of hours that they're putting into it. That is talent development. If you have not done that with your flow state, or with what catches your attention, like with this part of you that like you just like want to get better at and like you would love for it to be amazing, then you can't say that your talent is not good enough because you haven't given it a chance. And it's so funny that only the talent knows that it requires effort and focus to get better. So if you feel like your talent is not fully developed, it is really just a process of devoting yourself to that gift, which means consistency, a practice schedule. Like, you know, if you were, are you dedicating 2-3 days a week? Like, how much are you doing it? What's funny is committing to containers. So committing to this podcast is going to get me better at what I do, right? So like, it could also be, you can be practicing in the moment in real life. You don't need to do it on the side. I think some people are comfortable practicing in little caves, and then you have to go and practice in front of people. But we are always in a state of practice, right? Like, I just did that live event in Miami, and I was practicing a new skill, and the only way to do it was to let people see me stumble and be a little bit messy and like not have it real, like really together. Like, they were seeing me practice in real time. But it's like, unless I put the event together and give myself that stage, like, I can never get to a bigger stage. I can never get to bigger rooms. Like, and I need people to see me. So yeah, unfortunately, practicing usually means in front of people. I mean, I can definitely practice at home, and maybe that's just not my vibe, unfortunately. I wish I had a little bit more of that. I don't prepare as much. I kind of just like, I need the feedback from people to be able to like really practice. But you can obviously like practice quietly on your own and then move into like public practice, which again, our children do public practice. Like, they will have a dance recital once a year. You know, they're going to play on their high school's basketball court in front of parents. Like, they are getting better at what they do in real time in front of people. We need to be brave enough to do the same. And we just cannot expect anything else from our talent unless we are doing those things. Like, this idea that we are like born completely gifted. We are born gifted. We are born by a certain design. They are shown, but then it is our job to tweak, to perfect, to work, to maneuver it so that it is just right, like the way that we want it. And we will constantly be working at it. Like, the tweaking and the perfecting will never end. So we got it. It's like, you just got to get comfortable with it and understand that, that's part of being the talent. I would say also that it's not just like what you think your talent is. There's also these complementary gifts around the talent is what I was feeling. So for example, this thing about a professional basketball player, like, they can be amazing basketball players, but if they are not good on camera, then their career, they'll like miss career opportunities. They actually have to learn how to speak, get on camera, do media. So while that might not like light them up, like being on camera and doing media interviews, it does make way for their talent to grow, and it does make way for more opportunities. So sometimes with being talent, we miss these, the word is like escaping me. It's like we miss these complementary skills. So it's like the talent can look even better when we increase certain skills. For example, let's say I'm a maker of things. I don't know. I'm like really good at making a fashion line. I'm going to need the complementary skill of selling. Like, I'm going to get more opportunities and I'm going to be able to be a better designer, get more opportunities if I learn the skill of selling. So definitely, if you feel like, no, my talent is good, pay attention to the skills that can help that talent go even further. And how can you increase the skills that go around that talent and actually support that talent to go even further? Also, you know, maybe you're at the baby stages of your talent and you might even have a stronger skill than you have a talent. And that stronger skill can actually make that talent go further. I had a skill in content creation when I first started because I came from a media background. I wasn't a very good reader, but I knew how to make content just enough to be heard and to be seen while I got better. And now I would say like the gift is stronger than like my media skill at this point. So, you know, always playing with both talent and the skills that complement that talent. Message number 6, we briefly spoke about talent needing support because talent is basically creating an ecosystem around it. Usually that ecosystem is called the business around this talent. And that means that there's people around this person. And when we think about support, especially when we're first starting out, we think, well, I need resources. I need money. Like, I need to pay people to support me, whether it's to edit my videos or to make my product, like whatever it is. And I don't have money, right? Like, I was stepping into that, like you're kind of saying, like, I don't even know if I have money for this. So how can I really show up as a talent if I don't even have like the money to pay for people around me? Support, the supporting of the talent does not require money as much as it requires belief. So when the talent believes that they are going somewhere, when the talent believes like that they are worth it, when the talent believes that like it's at least worth a shot or worth a try, what happens is that people that their purpose in life and that what they truly are designed for to be like the support system in these places, they start to show up and they start to get excited. And I'm not saying that they're going to do it for free, but you'd be surprised the agreements that you could make. I'm sure maybe you interned for free at some point, right? I remember interning for free and I interned at places that believed that they were worth it, that they were the shit, that like they were an amazing media company. So like I should be lucky to work with them, and I did it for free. And that's because they sold me on the dream. My husband is like working for a friend of ours who is working on this big project. And this friend, I've known him since I was a kid, and I've seen him in action. And it's like, I love how he sells his dream. Like, he like has to get the best talent at the prices that he can afford. Like, he, it's not like that budget's going to increase, but he knows that he needs the best talent at these like little prices that he has, or maybe they're not even little prices. They're just like, you know, it's like what he has at the time. And he sells you the dream. Like, and not even like in a cheesy way. He's just like so passionate about what he's doing that he feels like you should be on board. I feel like Benny and I suffered from that the other day. We have a project that we're working on, and we found this talent that we really like. We can't really afford like his full prices, but you know, if he would work with us, we can do it. And I took the wrong approach. Like, when he came, I took this approach of like flattering him. And I was like, oh, we're so grateful that you're here. Thank you so much. And like, I was kind of like, just like blowing smoke up his ass, you know, and like giving him ego. And at the end of the meeting, I was like, oh, I did it wrong. We should have been like, we're so excited about what we're doing. Like, you're going to love what we're doing. And like, you're going to want to be part of this. And we didn't do it that way. We did it this other way. And the guy never called us back. And I was like, yeah, I told Benny, I'm like, because he can tell we're not like money bags here. And he can get projects that like will pay him a ton. But we didn't do a good job of selling him the dream. And he was obviously open to it because he came to the project. We attracted him enough to talk to, but we didn't get him to the place that he would support our dream with his talents and his gifts because we didn't sell the dream to him. So that was a learning lesson in business, but I feel like there's another way around this. I was already telling Benny, I'm like, let's do it this way. So you have to like, you get support when people can feel momentum. Like when they feel that another person is going somewhere, like that's when they're going to latch on and want to help and do things with you. So don't sell yourself short. Like, and if you don't have any support right now, it's just a sign that you need to believe in yourself more, that you need to know you're going to go somewhere, that you know that you at least, you know, you're going to try. For me in the beginning, it was like, I just think what I'm going to do is going to be fun. So just let them know that you're on to something and that you're going somewhere. Okay, friends, that was the episode about being the talent. I hope that it was supportive. If you need a little bit more guidance in the Clarity app, we have notes on this episode that help you reflect a little bit more and journal a little bit. So definitely come on over to the Clarity app. And of course, if you feel like you would love my support a little bit more, I have my mentorship group, link below if you would like to join and be part of that. And I'm just so excited to see you grow something around your true gifts, your true self, your true vision, and to let yourself go there. Like, do not be afraid to go there and to be that and to shine, because that is your design. Thank you so much for being here with me today. I am sending you a ton of love, and I'll see you in the next episode. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you're called to it, please leave me a review, subscribe, and share it with a friend. That is the best way to show your gratitude for this show. And if you want to go deeper with me, check out my app, Clarity. Until next time, much love always.